Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt, and I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection, and it is nice to be back. I'm waiting right now for it says that I am streaming live on YouTube. So, you know what would be nice if you are there on YouTube, and if you're watching that, would you just send me a text or an email? Because see, I don't get to open up that YouTube window. So, let me try this. Hold on, just be a little bit patient with me, would you please? I want to go in and see what's going on in the YouTube window, and to make sure all that is going well, and I can just click on my. Where'd it go? My two YouTube connection and all my. Oh, there it is, the Dave Schmidt YouTube window. Okay, so it's coming up, and it'd be nice because tonight I'm going to bring some different things to you, and I'm also going to. Yep, it says it is live stream. It's live now, and it is going, and so I want to make sure that I turn the sound off of there.
Yep, it says it is live.
Okay, I need to turn.
And going, and so.
Because there's a slight delay from when I talk to what you get showing up on the YouTube window. But it's all working. It's all good. Everything is going well. So thank you for allowing me to get that up and going with this new technology that we have here. But, folks, it's nice to be back. It's nice to be back here. Really appreciate it. And it's nice to be as for everything going because I've been away for a little bit. And there was a reason for that. There was a reason why that was hopeful for me to be away. Now, I'm looking away from the camera here just a little bit as I'm wanting to basically, again, go back. That didn't work correctly. I clicked the wrong button. Let's see if it'll go back. Bring me back up. And there it is again. Okay. Well, also then, before I get going in here tonight, let's say, Ms. Blanca, how are you doing there tonight? And welcome again from Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be back. And looking forward to a good conversation with you, some updates, and a nice show. It's good to be back.
Good.
Hello, everybody.
All righty. So I got a text saying that Blog Talk Radio sounds really good. So if any of you folks are watching on YouTube, if you have my phone number, just to send me a text. It looks fine, you know, where I see it, you know, here on my window. But what I'm going to do tonight in the program, I'm also going to bring some videos. And so that's what helps us be able to see what's going on here. But Blanca, anything else that you would like to add to what we're doing here? And again, it's been 5 weeks since I've been on the air.
Gee, it was a long time. Well, I think the last time we were together were some, in Atlanta when Mr.
Yep.
and Miss M were here. And then I uh-huh. think you had them also in Minneapolis.
That was a week and a half ago, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and... So we can talk about a little bit about how that went, and because I think you're going to have them at another session.
Yes, I have two workshops that are coming up that are called what are called hosted workshops, which means I wasn't the one that arranged them. It was somebody else that had a group of people that said, "Would you please come?" And since they're doing all the work and all the technical stuff and nice, and all I have to do is basically go show up, I said, "Sure, I can do that." A week from tomorrow, I fly off to Norway, and I get to do a workshop there in Oslo, Norway. I'll spend about 3 days with the folks there, and they're going to take me all around to do the tourist stuff. But other than that, you know, everything is going to be just fine. I did get a text that, Blanca, you were a little bit weak on the YouTube, so I'm basically turning up my gain that is there. And then what I also need to do is probably, yes, there we go. So go ahead and share some stuff with me now, and let's see how you come across. Now. There.
Hopefully that'll work better.
That should be much better. I can already tell that because, yeah, that you should be coming out much better there on YouTube. So.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
Very good. So Oslo, Norway, that's awesome. Very good.
Yes.
That should be
yes.
a great session, and I'm just so happy that the folks are listening and getting something from the show there, and we'll have you over. That's very nice. Very nice. Well, go ahead.
I fly out a week from tomorrow on a Thursday, And then I fly out the following Thursday, which means the Wednesday night radio program will be done from Oslo, Norway. I'm going to go ahead and unless I have some complications and some problems, I'm going to go ahead and do the program from there. But what that means, I'm on the air at 3 a.m. Oslo time be, you know, at 6 p.m. Pacific time or, you know, 9 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be 3 a.m. for me in Oslo. So, and I was talking with somebody, I think, Blanca, I think it was you that somebody said, you need to go get one of those Viking horns and skulls and do your radio program.
Yes, we want to see you a Viking helmet with the horns and you know, your little beard there. You'll definitely pass.
Yes, I do. You know, yeah, I'm in the Viking land here, you know, this time around. So
that would be good. Well, that one's
coming up.
We're going to be there. Oops, we're stepping over each other.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what happens when we're not in the same room with each other. And, you know, you're coming basically on the phone from Georgia and I'm in Sedona. So, but yes, so that's a week from Saturday. Well, this coming Saturday, before I say that, and then 4 weeks after that, I will be having a workshop in Laverne, Minnesota. Now, that's another hosted workshop. There's a gentleman there that he lives in the community and he's brought in somewhere between 60 and 80 people to purchase the currencies and everything. And I did one there about 3.5-4 years ago. And so they invited us to come back and they want, you know, Mr. M and Ms. M. So we're going to be doing them again in Laverne, Minnesota. Now it will be open up to anybody. That's true. So anybody can go there, but you know, Laverne is not in a metropolitan area. It's down in the very, very, very southwest corner of the state of Minnesota. Cause what he always tells me is, well, if you go about 20 to 25 miles west, you're in South Dakota because we're 45 minutes from Sioux Falls. And if you go 12 miles south, you're in Iowa. So that's where they are. So, but if you fly in, you want to fly into Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then it's about a 45 minute drive from there is where it is. So, but that's what we'll be doing. And that one will be, but it's important to understand that one is not going to be on a Saturday. It's their community, their organization. They do have a community meeting place, but he says at that time of the year, they're all taken up for weddings on the weekends. So we would have to have the workshop on a Monday. But, you know, most of them are all farmers, so they can just, you know, take whatever time off they want to take off. So it doesn't make much difference, you know, because, you know, you're not going to a 9-to-5 job when you're pretty, there are only a few of those in Laverne, Minnesota. So, but it'll be on a Monday, July 23rd. Is the day we'll be doing the workshop there. And then this Saturday in a few days, I am hosting Gary and Cindy Renard here in Sedona. And you've heard me say many, many times that book, Disappearance of the Universe, no book has changed my life as much as that one. I'll even be touching on a little bit tonight, but once a year they come to Sedona and I host them. I'm their host, but it's their workshop for Gary and Cindy, what they have here. And that's this coming Saturday. So that's kind of the logistics of all the schedule coming up there, Blanca. So, I don't have anything else scheduled for a while, but I'll get into that in just a minute. So, yeah. What else do you have? Any other comments there? Where did you go? Oh, let's see here. Where did you go, Blanca? You kind of went off the air there for a little bit. Let's see if I can bring you back on. Are you back on? Are you back?
Hello?
Yeah, now you're back. What happened? Yeah.
I got bumped off the show and came back in. So I'm glad
you got bumped off the show.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. Rude.
Wow.
But I'm back. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you just fine. Everything's good. But that's just funny how all of a sudden you just got totally. It's normally I'm the one that normally gets bumped off, not you.
No, that's not right. Well, anyway, well, what I did get to hear was that it looks like you're having Mr. and Miss M at the workshop in Lavernia. Did I hear that correct? Okay. Laverne, okay. Because I think you had mentioned that perhaps Minneapolis might have been the last one. So, folks, if you were wanting to catch it. Now, it's going to be adventure, it sounds like, to go to Laverne, Minnesota. But hey,
yep,
if we're about adventures, it's a good one to take. If that's a possibility, I'd encourage folks to go just based on what Alan and I experienced in Atlanta. They came to Atlanta. The information was superb. They answered questions, all kinds of questions, so people were able to get that off their chest and get their answers. And the folks who went, I mean, Alan still and I, we like to talk about who we met, and we met people from, you know, Pennsylvania, from California, Texas, Florida, Connecticut, even from Canada. I mean, we just met people from everywhere with kind hearts and very wise people, and Florida, too, I think. I mean, just I'm probably leaving some people out because it's been a while, but it's a great time to meet and connect with folks who are just like you, are waiting to get some funds and to do some very good in the world. So if you can, I would encourage you to go, because, again, I don't think – now, Dave hasn't said anything about this, but I don't think Mr. M and Miss M are going to be available all the time. So if it's possible, I'd encourage you to go. And is it in, I guess on your website, it's information how they can register. Is that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
I don't have the registration up yet for Laverne, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I usually send a newsletter out about 3 weeks prior to the event. And
great,
that's what I'll do. And so watch for that newsletter to come out in a couple of weeks when the registration for that one will be open. And as of now, no, we do not have anything planned for them. And
mm-hmm.
I'll get into it and then kind of explain why I'm not scheduling any workshops right now. So, but yeah. Okay. Anything else then before I go on?
I think that's it, Dave. I'm just happy to hear that the people have one more opportunity to meet Mr. and Ms. M. That's great.
Yeah. Well, folks, let me give a brief update of what's taking place, because that's usually what most people always want to know about what's happening in the exchange. I've had to be extremely quiet, and I mean extremely quiet, and that's why I wasn't even answering that many emails. I wasn't saying anything unless it was absolutely urgent. Obviously, a lot of you saying, well, this has been going on for so long. Yes, it has been going on for so long. But at the end of the day, folks, it's always about safety, 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 to make sure that you can have the money in your bank account without it being stolen. And that is not a simple process to work through, folks. We are discovering more and more the depth of what is out there of people trying to literally shut us down and not wanting this to happen. They're very deep, what we would call cabal operations, that just flat out do not want this to take place. And so we get in a position where we really think that we're ready to go, then all of a sudden they'll show up with a new wrinkle, they'll show up with a new item that creates kind of a, you know, throws a clog in the wheel, and we have to basically stop and make sure that it's going to be safe, because it could end up creating some problems. They've been working on this now for years. And we were at that point where we were ready to go. In fact, I want to be very careful how I say this, but some of you that had attended the recent workshops, you were aware of how there were some opportunities to still get into the round one process. And I said, you know, things would be coming very shortly. Well, we had another clog thrown into the wheel, folks. That's the bottom line. And this, we literally were right at the door ready to go. And they came in and had a very high-level disruption event where we just had to stop, take a step back, make sure everything was good and everything was clear. And so that's about all I can say. But see, in that process, it shows us how serious this is, and it shows us also how close it is, because of the fact that we are right there ready to go, and then the huge disruptions come in. And when we get to be where it's that close, they ask me to say, you need to go quiet, because here's the bottom line, is when I come on the air and when I do a radio program or when I do a newsletter, it's basically I'm stirring up their hornet's nest. I'm activating them. They're getting all, you know, ticked off, activated, wanting to come in and do whatever it is, because, see, they know that there's going to be 8,000 to 10,000 people eventually that are either going to watch this video or listen to this radio program. And because of that, then they know it creates a lot of, you know, issues that are going on out there. If I wasn't talking about this, then it would be very quiet and they wouldn't really have this reason to go up and start, you know, trying to disrupt everything that's going on. So folks, that's the reason why. Now, also for those of you that have been at the workshops going all the way back to the 1st of April and you had talked about the possibility of being in the round wood, please just be very patient, would you? Is because please remember, all my phone calls and all my emails are monitored. And folks, it doesn't make any difference if I use Proton Mail, you know, email, which is, you know, a secure email, or if I even use other, you know, secure phone sites. Professionals, they can hack into almost anything if they want to. And why is this so important? For those of you that have attended the workshops, we recognize who really runs and controls the world's money supply. It's basically these very deep black operatives, cabals that have always run this. And with these funds being released, because of who they're coming from and how it's organized and the process that's going to be involved, this is the start of them losing their power and control. This is not just a one-shot deal, folks. This is not just boom, it's done and they're gone. No, no, no. But it's a process. This is a process that's going to go on for years. We are the ones that are getting to be at the very front edge of it. But this is a process that's going to go on for years. It's predominantly in the funding of the projects. Now, that's what Mr. M and Ms. M, that's their focus. That's their specialty. That's what they really pay attention to. And that's what they give us a lot of information about, is the funding of the projects. And the funding of the projects and the currency exchange are two entirely separate issues. But they both have a place and they both have a purpose. And in the currency, remember I've said there are three different primary funding sources. So every one of those can be a little bit different. They're not all the same. This is not something you can just put into a single box and it's all going to be done the same exact way. It depends on who your broker is, who your buyer is, the type of contract that you have. So that's why I really don't talk a lot about specifics, because they're all different based on who it is that you're working with. And you've heard me say, I think I have, what, 7 or 8 different contracts now, and I'm involved in all three of those. So I have an idea what's going on in all three. But I also know and I'm aware of what it takes to get this done, where their money is coming from, and how they got it, how they acquired it. And one thing I can say is, don't plan that you're going to have an extremely high amount of money. When I talk about that, I'm talking about $10, $15, $20, $30 million, folks. They aren't going to allow that to happen. They aren't going to put out that much liquid capital in the very beginning of this process, because there's way too many people, and that would just, putting out that much money would just blow up the global economy, because you would be putting out too much money too fast into a global economic system that is not ready to handle that. Plan on the fact that this may be structured out over a period of time. So that's pretty much the update that is there, and I have to be very careful about what I say. I can't go into details, and do not email me asking me specific questions about dates and rates. I flat out will not answer those, folks. I will not. Because remember, all my emails are monitored. And when you start sending me emails like that, you have the potential of possibly making yourself become a target. Because I have given instructions to people in emails, don't send me these questions. I'm saying that now over the air. Don't email me those questions. And then when people do it, what does it say to the people who are monitoring? You don't know how to follow instructions. You're pretty weak in this process, and you're a prime target for them to come and get you. That's the bottom line, folks. And I'm being very honest and practical and real when I say that. Now, I don't mind you sending general email questions. If you've got other issues, that's okay. And because remember, you're not a threat to them, okay? You're not. Myself, Mr. M, and Ms. M, we are. We are the ones that can be a threat to these black hat cabal people that would like to shut this down. But you as an individual, you're not. So you don't have anything to worry about. So feel free to email me some of your questions and issues, but don't ask about dates and rates issues, okay? I won't answer those emails that come through about that, okay? So that's pretty much that issue there. Ms. Blanca, what else would you like to have to share with us?
Well, just thank you for the update, and I'm glad you got the green light to come back on. From what I heard, it sounds like things are still in process. It's just a matter of dealing with some interruptions, and then they're continuing with what needs to be done to get some funds out. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it is. And to say that there's absolutely nothing that I can do to make it happen any faster. But I could be one of those that could end up creating some serious problems and making it be delayed. So that's why I'm always very careful about what I say and when I come on the air. And when I know that things are that close, I mean, you and I don't want this stuff to be disrupted just because you want me to be on the air because you'd like to have me talking about a radio program. No. Remember, we have a goal about where we all want to get this done. So, okay. So that's why I'm very careful about when I do come on here. So, anything else you'd like to share with us before we get into the program tonight?
No, I think that's it, Dave.
Okay, well, let me look at my notes. Where did I go? So, yeah. Well, all right, so let's go here. Let's get into the program tonight. What I'm going to do is I'm going to continue to talk about something as an extension that I talked about 5, 6, and 7 weeks ago. And in that, when I was talking about that, I was talking about, you know, why is it that we're getting this money? What's our purpose? The purpose is basically it's not just about us, you and me, getting money for ourselves or our close family people. It's about being vehicles to spread this money around the world, to stimulate a global economy, to help heal up a lot of this world. That's the primary purpose for it. But for that type of a healing to take place, there's other things that are important for us to take that next step. Now, I've shared with you, and especially in the workshops, I share about the resource materials of where this information comes from. And I talk about this issue of what is called separation consciousness. A Course in Miracles talks about that. Gary Renard talks about that in his books. And then Dr. Neruda, his interview, that's and those links are on my webpage, his interview of, you know, in what's called the wingmakers.com, and these were the most brightest and smartest scientists in the world, a group that he came out of. He says that as well. The very root problem for us as a human race is how we think because of what our mind produces and what it puts out into this world. We live in this world where everything is unified. Everything at the energetic level has unity and construction, and it's all connected. And that connectedness is what is called quantum entanglement. Now, that sounds like a funny term, but it's a very positive term. That what it means, everything in this universe operates at the level of energy, and everything at the energetic level is connected. And when we move in harmony with that connection, when we move in a sense of oneness and purpose, when we move in a sense of being very positive with each other, then that harmony flows. And it has a natural flow to it. And we really see that natural flow in nature. Take a look at nature. Take a look at it. How it flows within itself. It goes through its seasons. It doesn't struggle. It doesn't have conflicts and crisis like what we do. Now, yes, storms come and go and something like that. But take a look at the animal world. Take a look at how unified it is and how it has a flow to it and how it has a commonality to it. Yes, there are some areas of differences, and yes, there are some areas of conflicts, because that's the type of world. That's what happens when you have a world of duality consciousness. But for the most part, they are always operating in that sense of unity, in that quantum entanglement, where everything at the quantum level is tied in together, and it's all entangled with each other, and it produces this field of energy. But for us as humans, we separate that. And what we do in separation consciousness is we start separating ourselves from each other. Now, A Course in Miracles uses the term what is called ego consciousness. And it's really interesting because, see, the Latin word for ego is the word I. It's I consciousness. Now, that doesn't mean it's an I in a deep sense of an egoic state of what we would think of in terms of what would be our conventional definitions. But I consciousness means there is me and there is an I, and I am separate from you. I am not unified with you. I am not entangled with you. I am not with you in anything, and I don't harmonize with you. I am a separate individual that is totally separate from you. We can live in a world where we are people that are very loving and giving and caring and have a high sense of awareness and a high sense of spirituality, but they can still all be evolved in separation consciousness. Because at its root, we see ourselves as separate, and we don't see ourselves as one. This oneness awareness is what makes our whole world move and operate in a healthy manner. Well, where does this separation consciousness come from? Now, let me share a couple things of what I say. I do say in the workshops, and I have a couple slides in there because I use a PowerPoint presentation, where I'm saying if there's anything that I think is the most important thing that I have to say is get to understand this. Because you see, until we understand what separation or duality or ego consciousness, they're all the same terms. I mean, they all talk about the same thing. Until we understand that, we're going to always continue to have our problems. Always. Because they are the root of it. They are what creates this disruption. They are the ones that strips away this unified entanglement. And it's the power of human thought that does that. There's lots of different videos that are out there available on YouTube that you can go and you can see this. One of the best ones is to watch this YouTube on what is called the double slit experiment. Part of it is comes out of the movie of what the bleep do we know, but it is available. It's out there and it's on YouTube. And it talks about the power of human thought, where we as the observers at the quantum level, to the level of the electrons, below the level of the atom, it's our human thought, our consciousness, that is telling the electrons where to go and what to do and what creates everything in this world around us. Because of that, we live in this world that we think everything is absolutely physical and solid and it's all there. And it's the separation consciousness that creates what is called a world of illusion. Now, Gary Renard's books talks about that very well, that we live in a world that it's not real. The world we think is real is nothing but a holographic illusion. It's nothing but what they call a dream state. And it's something that we are creating from ourselves. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit about, and I'm going to show some videos about this whole concept of the holographic illusion. And why is this so important to understand this? Because you think, well, why are you talking about this? What do you mean? Because at the end of the day, folks, if you really, really want to help fix and change this world, if you want to be people who are going to heal this world, this is critical to understand. Because we heal the world by undoing and healing the separation consciousness mind. And it has to be healed within ourselves. That's how you fix this world. We think that if we have a tendency to want to step outside of us and find something that is outside of us. There's money that is outside of us. There's jobs that are outside of us. There's relationships that are, and we bring this into our lives. There's money that's outside of it, and I bring it into my life. That's going to fix a lot of my problems. There's love affairs that are out there or marriage affairs that are out there, and I bring that person into my life and we fall in love and we get married, and that's going to fix a lot of my problems. There's job issues, there's relationship issues, there's economic issues, there's political issues. We always think that there's something that is out there, and if I bring that into my life, it's going to fix my life. And then we expound on that. And we say there's political issues that are out there, and if we fix these political issues, then the world is going to be okay. Folks, I've been in politics for 20 to 25 years, and that will never, politics will never fix our problems. If you think you don't understand separation consciousness, then look at the political division that's going on in our country. We have never been more divided politically than what we are right now. People aren't just, you know, simply offering differences of opinions. They're arguing, they're fighting, they're debating, and they're becoming extremely vulgar. And if you don't think so, then all we have to do is reflect back to a few days ago when Robert De Niro was there on the Tony Awards, and what did he come out and he say? And I'm not even going to repeat it because you've probably seen the news stories about it. How vulgar, how debased, how much in separation, how much in anger, how much in hatred can there be when we see statements like that being stated globally to the whole world and the millions upon millions of people who are watching the Tony Awards? This isn't about President Trump. And I don't care if somebody would come out and say that about President Obama. It shows, it's the reflection of how deep separation consciousness is in our culture, in our society, and in our thought systems. We separate, we divide, we fight, we argue, we get into conflict, we allow ourselves to be in fear, anxiety, animosity, we allow ourselves to live in lack, and we have to go and get more. And then regardless of how much money we have, it never seems to be enough because there's always somebody out there that's going to basically be more powerful than me, and I can't let them control me, so I need more money so I can always have control over them. That's the status of the human race, folks. And that's an issue that's been with us for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years. We live in a world where in the last 150 years, we've had this massive expansion in technology, what's been available to us in the Industrial Revolution, what came through us in being able to modernize our societies, what has come to us now through the internet and the digital age that we are in, and all the different stuff that is available to us. It was 150 years ago, we didn't even have trains. And we didn't even have power steamed boats to make boats go faster. The fastest we could move is that how fast would the boat go because of the power of wind, or how fast would a horse take us? About 150 to 160 years ago. And we've gone from that to where we are today, where we can travel faster than the speed of light and we can go to the moon or who knows where. And already they're already making plans at some point in their future they're going to be sending people to Mars. That's what we've progressed on. We've come to a point of information that the only thing that was available to us was newspapers that were printed up, and yet the information was sometimes a week or a month old because it took that long to get to the newspaper if you were away from that part of what was going on. Books were available and newspapers, and beyond that, we didn't have anything. So here we are today living with the Dick Tracy models that we saw Dick Tracy having 50 and 60 years ago in the cartoons because of what can come through this. So on one hand, issues of external issues, technology, the digital age, transportation issues, comfort of living, being able to live in comfortable homes and have cars and being able to move to communicate. Right now, some of you are halfway around the world watching this real in live time. And to be in a world like that, but when we come to consciousness issues, when we come to heart issues, when we come to awareness issues, we haven't changed hardly at all. We're still just as separated from all this new technology as we were 160 to 180 years ago when we didn't have any of it. We still live in separation. We create divisions. We create wars. We kill. I saw a comment that said 60 to 80 years from now, when they look back at the 20th century, the 1900s, it says that the 20th century will go down as the dark ages of the human race, the century we just came out of. During that century, in the 1900s, we killed over 200 million of our own people in the human race. We were brutal, brutal in how we treated one another, the wars that we went into, the conflicts that we had. Now, most of us as individuals don't really grasp that because we don't live in a world where we see people, you know, on an everyday basis getting killed right in front of us. Until you live in these other countries where there's these brutal wars going on all the time. And we were at the apex of that in the 1900s. World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, the list goes on and on and on and on. Those are just for those of us in the United States, let alone what happened in the rest of the world. We also forget that we live in a world where the population is now approaching 8 billion people. And over half of the people on this planet, more than 4 billion people, live on less than $10 a day. When you live on less than $10 a day in this economic environment, what does that mean? It's called survival. All your time, all your energy is put into just surviving. These funds coming forward are to help remedy that situation. It's about putting this money to work to have it, let it have a global impact all around the world. But in doing that, we're still dealing with externals. We're still helping people on the outside issues. We're still helping bring something from the outside into their life to make their life better. And that's important. It's very important that we do that, because it's there that we give them the opportunity to wake up themselves. We allow their awareness to be opened up. We allow them to become educated where they can improve their own lifestyle. But it's the stepping stone for all of us as human beings on this planet to make the ultimate change. And the ultimate change is healing the separation consciousness that is within us. And to do that, we move into what is called heart consciousness. And then in Neruda's interviews, they talk about the sovereign integral process. And it's a great term because they talk about we are sovereigns, we are individuals, but yet still we're all integrated. We're all connected. We have the ability to make our own decisions. We have the ability to be individuals, but we individually don't separate ourselves with each other. We keep ourselves into a unified form of awareness and consciousness. That's how you heal the world. What A Course in Miracles talks about is you always have to go to the cause of the problem, not the effect. And the cause of the problem is always what they call ego or separation consciousness and duality consciousness. Now, how are we there? What creates all this? Well, how do we bring about this stuff about? There are a lot of scientific researches. There's a lot of great videos on YouTube that talk about we live in what is called a holographic universe. Now, I'm going to show you a book that I'm not all the way through yet, but I absolutely love this book. It's called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. This book was so far ahead of its time when it was written. It was written in 1991. And in there, Talbot talks about, he does the research, massive research, in bringing in examples or communicating with different professors and scientists and physicists all around the world and the examples that they go into. And they build what is called the holographic theory. And that theory is, the world we live in is not physical. Though it has all of the feelings of being physical, it's not. It's a holographic universe. Now, what is a hologram? Well, in the first chapter of the book, they give this great illustration. They have what is called a laser light, and the light beam is coming out. And then they take the light beam and they split it. One of the beams, and then over to the left, sitting on this desk, is an apple. And one of the beams hits the apple. Then the other beam goes through this prism, and then it bounces off of a couple of mirrors, and then it goes onto what is called a piece of holographic film. And so you have two separate, a split beam of light that's going in two entirely separate directions. But on the holographic film appears a 3D holographic image of the apple. And yet the apple's off over there. And yet it's showing up there. It shows you how light, when it can be split, can create a holographic image that makes it even, and it's still three-dimensional, it makes it seem like it's absolutely real. And what he builds in the case all the way through the book is that's what we do. We live in a world that is not three-dimensional physical, even at the quantum level of what are called the particles of matter. But we live in a world by what we see and experience with our five physical senses is a holographic image. It's a holographic illusion. And it's because by our separation consciousness. We have a light within us. And when we step into separation, we're splitting that light. We're separating it. We're tearing it apart. Produces the holographic image. Let me give you another illustration, and I've shared this with you before. We are programmed, we are conditioned, and we deeply believe that this world, this third dimensional world all around us, is a physical world. If I take my hand, feels very physical. Boom, I go like that. I can feel it. I can feel a little bit of a sensation there. If I hit it with a hammer, I'm going to have some pain. Very, very physical. But if I take this hand and I put it under an electron microscope, what do I see? 99% space. Massive swirling atoms, electrons, neutrons, and all the stuff taking place at the quantum level. So which is it? Is it physical or is it all space? It can't be both. From the pure perspective of science, it's space. But it's our minds create this image, and our minds bring in all of our five physical senses that give us the ability, the sensation, that it's real. Because the mind is that far advanced and it's that far programmed. And it's our believing in it, because we believe that, that's what gives us all of the sensations that the world is physical and it's real and this body has its limitations. Now, what I want to do here tonight, I'm going to share some videos because, you know, we got a two-hour program. We still got another hour and 20 minutes left. So I want to go in and I want to share some videos here tonight that kind of give this illustration about this holographic universe so you can begin to take it in. Because when we begin to understand that, when we understand that as a foundation, we are then setting ourselves up to how we can move past this holographic illusion of a world that we live in. Let's take a look at this video. Interesting when we take a look at that, because it was just a short little video. And if you look at who put that out, if you notice in the bottom right corner, it was put out by USA Today. So when you got even mainstream media is coming out and admitting that we're living in a world of a holographic universe, well, that begins to tell us a lot, doesn't it? It tells you the difference that is there. So now, in contrast to this holographic universe, I had also said earlier that we live in a universe where everything is connected. It's what's called this quantum entanglement. Let's watch this short video that talks about that. Thank you. Now, I want to share with you this book again, The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. Because, see, what you just saw there was the contrast. On one hand, it says we're all connected, everything is entangled. And yet, on the other hand, it talked about this issue of being, you know, this everything is just holographic. That was a major debate that went on with Albert Einstein right up to the very end of his life. Because there was another scientist by the name of Dr. Bohm. He was the one that was coming out and saying, no, the world is a holographic universe. There is no such thing as matter at the quantum level. Matter doesn't exist. Time doesn't exist at that level. Now, even at that last statement, Einstein agreed with that because he was the one that said there is no such thing as time. That was the whole issue of the theory of relativity. It says time does not exist. The world of time and space does not exist. It's all just an illusion. But yet Einstein held to the end that the world we live in was still quantum. It was particles based. And Bohm would debate with him and says, wait a minute, it's not possible because you have way, way too many areas that would be exceptions to that if it was a particle-based world of law and order based upon quantum particles. The world is holographic because when the world is holographic, it has unlimited potential of what it can do. And because the world is holographic, it explains why we can experience things that are paranormal, miraculous, intuitive, psychic, and etc. And Talbot goes into great detail on all these issues there within the book, is what he does. And in this debate, it was interesting because he talks about in the book that finally at the end of his life, Einstein admitted, I think you're right, because nothing that I can put together makes sense if it's all quantum particle based. So what does that mean for you and me if the world is just a holographic universe? It gives illustration and it gives examples of why what we call the paranormal, the miraculous, can happen. When we go into the process of getting and retraining our minds to see certain things and to understand things in that nature. One of the best examples I give for that was basically the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. If we want to step outside of what would be our religious teachings, our theological base, and look at it from a scientific perspective, how in the world was he put on that cross and he didn't die? He basically rose again. It's because of the fact that he knew and he understood in a world of absolute oneness, in a world of absolute connection, because he repeatedly said, the Father and I are one. He understood the connected and the oneness of the universe. And he had taught and trained his mind to believe that he was beyond the limitations of the physical body. He knew that the physical body was just a holographic illusion. It was an illusion that was being presented to him, and he rose beyond the illusion and stepped into reality. And so at the crucifixion, he could understand that my body's not real. I cannot be killed. I cannot be physically killed. They can basically create an illusion within their world of their perception, thinking they're doing that to me. But he understood that, and he had totally, totally undone what was the separation of ego consciousness within him and allowed him to rise up above that. He was our prototype. He was an example to us. Now, why am I saying this? Because I absolutely believe in the coming. Now, this is going to take time. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. But in the coming years and in the coming decades, there's going to be some of us, a group of us, that are going to learn how to do this. We're going to learn how to heal the ego consciousness mind. We're going to learn how to step into what is real and beyond the holographic illusion. And in that, we can then follow in the steps of what Jesus said. And you don't have to be in the religious or theological church context to understand this, folks. Allow yourself to be free from that, okay? Trust just what he said. And if you don't want to follow from him, there will be lots of others who will do the same thing. But Jesus said that I did, you can do it also. And even more. You can do more It's a matter of learning how to believe it. It's our belief, it's our faith that produces what is that can come about. Because see, in a holographic world, there's no physical limitations. Because it's the hologram that's being produced from our thoughts. And the thoughts are not the conscious thoughts. They are the thoughts that are coming from our subconscious minds. So we've programmed our subconscious minds to think this world is real. It's physical. It has its limitations. It has its pain. It has its conflicts. It has its differences. It has its deep issues of separation. We have programmed ourselves to believe that. And the mind is like a computer. You can reprogram it. Now, that programming isn't going to happen overnight, folks, because there's very, very deep stuff you've got to do to work to do that. But if you put yourself to it, you can step into that. I've been working on this now for about 9 years, and I'm already experiencing aspects. All I can say is I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 years ago. I'm always experiencing new shifts and changes within myself as I put myself and I do the work of undoing this ego in separation of consciousness. Let's go back and let's watch a few more videos on what is this holographic issue, okay?
Into Life Noggin. In the 1990s, a very strange idea of how the universe works was proposed by Gerard de Hooft and Leonard Susskind, and that is that our universe may be like a very complex hologram. Yeah, I'm serious. And if this is true, we have to seriously change the way we think about the universe and brace yourselves, because very recent research provides some evidence that this might be the case. But before we get into that, let's talk about what a holographic universe actually means. A big problem that physicists are trying to solve is how to unify quantum mechanics, which deals with the very small, and gravity, which deals with the very large. And some think that the holographic principle may be what helps solve that problem. Basically, this principle states that all the information about a volume of space can be thought of as encoded on a two-dimensional boundary to that region. So for a black hole, the description of all the stuff that falls inside it is contained in its boundary, the event horizon. And if we extend this idea out further, you basically exist on a two-dimensional boundary, and the three-dimensional universe you're used to is how that information gets expressed, like a 3D hologram. If this doesn't completely blow your mind, I don't know what will. So is there any evidence of this actually being true? Well, new research published in early 2017 provides some data that supports the theory. See, in their research, they use something called the cosmic microwave background, which is the emitted radiation dating back to 400,000 years after the Big Bang. And it's also basically the universe's baby picture. Isn't it so cute? Anyway, interestingly, the cosmic microwave background is not completely uniform. It has these small deviations, and these deviations can tell scientists a lot about the early universe. In their work, the researchers use the holographic theory of the universe to predict what those deviations would look like. And amazingly, their predictions were very accurate. Now, this is not enough to definitively say that the holographic principle is true, but it is certainly an important step forward. But if one thing is for sure, we definitely need more research. Two-dimensional or three-dimensional, I still love all of you just the same. But what do you guys think? Are you buying this whole idea? Let me know in the comment section below. Have you heard of our other channel, Play Noggin?
Okay, let's come back to here now. So that's a really interesting concept of there now. If you want to know where I can tell you how I got these. I just went into YouTube and I put in holographic universe. And these are there was a number of different videos that I had to come from. And obviously we don't want to be watching a 20, 30 minute or a 2 hour video here on the program. But these that are the 3 minutes to 5 minutes, they give you the illustration that what is there. Let's watch one more and on this about the whole concept of that the world we live in is a holographic illusion.
The fabric of the cosmos ever more closely, we may well find far more surprises than anyone ever imagined. Take me, for example. I seem real enough, don't I? Well, yes. But surprising new clues are emerging that everything, you and I and even space itself, may actually be a kind of hologram. That is, everything we see and experience, everything we call our familiar three-dimensional reality, may be a projection of information that's stored on a thin, distant, two-dimensional surface. Sort of the way the information for this hologram is stored on this thin piece of plastic. Now, holograms are something we're all familiar with, from the security symbol you find on most credit cards. But the universe is a hologram? That's one of the most drastic revisions to our picture of space and reality ever proposed. And the evidence for it comes from some of the strangest realms of space, black holes.
This is a real disconnect that it's very hard to get your head around. Modern ideas coming from black holes tell us that reality is two-dimensional, that the three-dimensional world, the full-bodied three-dimensional world, is a kind of image of a hologram on the boundary of the region of space. This is a very strange thing. When I was a younger physicist, I would have thought any physicist who said that was absolutely crazy.
Here's a way to think about this. Imagine I took my wallet and threw it into a black hole. What would happen? We used to think that since nothing, not even light, can escape the immense gravity of a black hole, my wallet would be lost forever. But it now seems that may not be the whole story. Recently, scientists exploring the map describing black holes made a curious discovery. Even as my wallet disappears into the black hole, a copy of all the information it contains seems to get smeared out and stored on the surface of the black hole, in much the same way that information is stored in a computer. So, in the end, my wallet exists in two places. There's a three-dimensional version that's lost forever inside the black hole, and a two-dimensional version that remains on the surface as information.
The information content of all the stuff that fell into that black hole can be expressed entirely in terms of just the outside of the black hole. The idea then is that you can capture what's going on inside the black hole by referring only to the outside.
And in theory, I could use the information on the outside of the black hole to reconstruct my wallet. And here's the truly mind-blowing part. Space within a black hole plays by the same rules as space outside a black hole or anywhere else. So if an object inside a black hole can be described by information on the black hole surface, then it might be that everything in the universe, from galaxies and stars to you and me, even space itself, is just a projection of information stored on some distant two-dimensional surface that surrounds us. In other words, what we experience as reality may be something like a hologram.
Is the three-dimensional world an illusion in the same sense that a hologram is an illusion? Perhaps. I think I'm inclined to think, yes, that the three-dimensional world is a kind of illusion, and that the ultimate precise reality is the two-dimensional reality at the surface of the universe.
This idea is so new that physicists are still struggling to understand it. But if it's right, just as Newton and Einstein completely changed our picture of space, we may be on the verge of an even more dramatic revolution. For something that's such a vital part of our everyday lives, space remains kind of like a familiar stranger. It's all around us, but we're still far from having unmasked its true identity. That may take 100 years, it may take 1,000 years, or
It may happen tomorrow. But when we solve that mystery, we'll take a giant step toward fully understanding the fabric of the cosmos.
That little movie clip was a great illustration that tells you what our science is just now starting to step into. And it's what's called, it's understanding the fact that the world is a holographic illusion. And earlier in the program, what you heard me say is, what creates that? And this really comes out again in that book, you know, The Holographic Universe. It's the human mind that creates this illusion of what is out there. Because what we see or experience with our five physical senses are just an energetic extension of what's taking place at the quantum level. Because underneath all of this, if the world is just a holographic illusion, remember, they talked about how the item would enter into the black hole and it gets diffused as it is in all of its small, basically quantum parts that makes it up, even though our mind makes us think that it's large and physical or something of that nature. What I've shared in the workshops and what I saw in another one of these videos is really interesting. When you look at the different levels of science, we understand and we know that what is called, you know, the level, the physical level, and then underneath that you get into the molecules and the cells. And then when you come down to the next level, you're at the level of the atoms. And then underneath that is what is called the quantum field. The quantum level of where energy is. It's where the different pieces of the atom take place. Underneath that, there's a theory that is called the string theory. And what it says that all of these particles at the quantum level, they're all tied together in a string. That's the quantum entanglement. They're all unified. They're in this unified structure of a string that gives it its sustenance that makes it seem sense. One of the physicists that you just saw in the previous video, in a conference that he's in, he makes a statement. He says, you want to understand what we're discovering now? You have the quantum level. You have it where it's all tied together at the string, as a string theory. You want to know what's underneath it? Nothing but a bunch of computer programming. Now, the other physicist says, wait a minute. Time out. He says, after you strip all this stuff away and dig down and go deep and deep as you can in this world that we live in, you're saying deep underneath the quantum level, it's all just a bunch of ones and zeros of a computer program. What it is. What does that say? This holographic illusion is nothing but a designed computer program to make us think that we live in a world that's just an illusion. It's just a dream. The sources that talk the best about that, again, that give that illustration, is this book here. Now, that's why I talk about it so much. It's called Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard. There's the quotes on the back of the book here, and we basically, you know, it's kind of still blurry and you can't see it, but there's a quote that was there from Wayne Dyer. Now, this book is not new. This book started with Gary in 1992, and these two ascended masters, they show up in his living room, and this book is a part of 8 years of discussions that they have with them, and they're teaching them stuff, what's going on. And the book finally came out, and it was published 10 years later in 2002. So the book is already 16 years old. But in that, on the back cover is this quote by Wayne Dyer. If you understand and respect the magnitude that Wayne Dyer had in the writing and in the journalistic world, he basically said this book will go down as one of the most useful and powerful and famous books of spiritual literature of this century. He was already saying that in 2002 when there was another 98 years to go. Just the fact that he made that kind of a statement. It's interesting when you look at the title. The universe is a holographic illusion. And what the book is about is as we undo, as we heal, and undo our ego consciousness, and we move into what is called the holy sense of consciousness of this universe, this illusionary world of a universe begins to disappear. As it begins to disappear, it gets replaced with that sense of what we would call heaven, in so many words, is what it is. And when I read that, and it talked about how the world isn't real, the world is just an illusion, and anything around us is not real. We live in a state, what is called a dream state. Even though we may be physically awake, we're just in a different type of a dream state. And to heal our lives and to heal the world, we have to wake up from the dream, is what we have to do. Now, how do we do that? You're going to hear me be talking more and more about, I mean, I always refer to what is called, you know, the interviews of Dr. Neruda. Neruda was an associate of this gentleman called A.R. Borden. Borden was considered to be the brightest and most smartest man in the world. Borden was a man that he headed up a group of scientists, and Neruda was one of those. And these scientists were so far advanced and so powerful, no government could touch them. But yet in reality, they were still all employed by the U.S. government. There was a group that was called the ACIO, Advanced Contact Intelligence Organization. Borden was the head of this organization for over 25 years, and they were basically a clandestine branch of the NSA. They were the clandestine government agency, or basically the agency, if you want to call it that, or organization, that they studied and researched all the ETs and the UFOs. And as scientists, they were so far advanced, they would reverse engineer the UFOs that was there. Borden was the man that for over 30 years communicated with the benevolent ETs called the Cordium. And in that, he had learned from them this same exact principle. And they communicated and says, we come to you from a different part of the universe, but we're here to let you know this universe isn't real. It's just a hologram. It's just an illusion. It's nothing of this stuff is real. And these scientists were so far advanced in their research and the things that they could do. Borden never came out into the public, because if he came out into the public with the research that they did and how far advanced that they would have been ridiculed. They would have been shut down by the cabal. Educational institutions would have basically laughed at them, because they would have made the traditional conventional education institutions look like absolute fools, because their research was so far advanced. But what Borden did do is he wrote white papers, and he kept those within his group, and they were only released to very few people. But he made a statement in one of these white papers that was really interesting. And he said, everything that you saw on Star Trek 30 years ago, we do it all for real. We do it all for real. We understand the physics behind the metaphysical world. We can teleport our bodies. We are the best remote viewers in the world. We have the ability to basically erase parts of your mind, your memory, and replace it with what we want it to be. We have no limitations on what we can do, because we understand the physics, that the world that you think is a physical world is just a hologram. They had also developed this process that was called LERM, L-E-R-M. Acronym, and it stands for Light Encoded Reality Matrix. Because they understood the physics, and because they understood the quantum world, and because they understood that everything that appears to be physical was not physical, and because they understood that what we see and perceive is produced from our mind, and it comes out of what is called using the power of your belief system and various forms of light. It's our beliefs and the light that create the things around us that have all the appearance of being physical. We take it and then we think it's physical, so then we operate as though it's a physical item. The LERM process. And there were over 20 of the scientists that are part of this group, and they all had the ability to do this. They could basically close their eyes, go into a meditative state, and within 3 to 5 seconds, they could make anything physically appear right in front of them out of nothing. You want to get that? Go read Neruda's interviews. And you'll need to go into the second, third interviews where he talks about the LERM process. And as he has this lady, Sarah, that is basically the journalist that's doing the interview, he does it for her. He shows her. This is how it works. And she's shocked. And she says, can you do this? Can I learn how to do this? And he says, yeah. Now, I says, it would take a little extra work, but it says, we would have to take you to our laboratories, and within 2 weeks, you would know how to do this. And he said, once you learn it, it's like, it's easy, because it's just a matter of having thoughts, but it's undoing the old belief that it's not possible. It's undoing the old belief that you think this world is physical and these bodies have limitations, and understanding that it's not. I want to share something with you. It's a lot of you know that it was about a little over a year ago, a year and a half ago, I had a gentleman on my program by the name of Michael Lee Hill. Michael and I still stay in touch with each other. We're still good friends. But I had received all this information from him. Michael had developed a relationship with A.R. Borden, and Borden basically was tutoring him for the last 5 years of his life, and Borden died about 4 years ago. Borden had given all of his white papers to Michael Lee Hill. And when I became acquainted with Michael, he gave all those to me. At the right time, that is something I know I'm going to learn how to do. But I understand the work that needs to be done to undo the blocks and the barriers that are there. I'm sharing this because, folks, this is where we're going. Now, again, this is not just a boom shot overnight situation. Some people will pick this up quickly. Others, it could take 2, 3, 4 years before you begin to assimilate into this into your life to understand what it really works. But how is it that we make this transition? How is it that we start undoing the ego and the separation consciousness? And it's what Neruda says, is that we step into what is called the sovereign integral process. Because it's living and believing and acting and habitually carrying out the lifestyle of the sovereign integral that lets us step beyond the limitations of this world. And we do that with what I call heart consciousness. There's a great organization out there called Heart Math Institute. A lot of you have probably heard about them. They are doing research, that's outstanding research, about the power of the human heart. And what they have discovered is that inside this heart, there's a second brain, very, very tiny little brain. And in that brain is this ability, and it's been pretty dormant for us as humans for literally thousands of years. There were always individuals that learned how to step into understanding and powering that heart consciousness. And it becomes empowered when you learn how to live and think in what is called non-dualism. Now, either separation or dualism, they're the same thing. Dualistic consciousness, separate consciousness. You learn how to live and program your mind into non-dualism. What was really interesting in this book that I recently read is almost all of what we would call the spiritual masters that have lived for thousands of years, they all understood this. And that's what elevated them, a lot of them, to the positions that they were in. They understood that the world was not real. It was just an illusion. And to move into reality, you had to develop what is called a non-dualistic thought process or a non-dualistic consciousness. We go back to the oldest, it was Lao Tzu, the Chinese master that wrote the Tao. He understood non-dualism and lived in non-dualism. The next one, the name escapes me, but it was the Hindu master that was responsible for bringing forth the Vedanta. The Vedanta were the sacred scriptures of the Hindus. The Vedanta is probably one of the most non-dualistic teaching sources that are out there, that is out there. It was totally non-dualistic in how it taught, and it was almost, there were still some small areas that wasn't quite totally there, but it understood non-dualism. The next one was Buddha. Remember, Buddha was not Buddha until after he died. He had his name and he had his teachings, and what he taught was this whole concept that the world wasn't real. You live from this state of non-aggression. You live from the state of non-duality. You live from the state of non-drama, and you live in a state of peace. That's basically the core of most of the Buddhistic teachings. After that came Plato. Plato was pure non-dualistic in his teaching. And the one that was the real master at that was Jesus. Now remember, folks, I've shared with you, I have a master's degree in biblical studies, so I know and understand my Bible very well. And I also understand that the most of the New Testament is not the teachings and the theology of Jesus, the teachings and the theology of the Apostle Paul. And when you look at what takes place there, you still have to come to admit it's still dualistic or separation-based in its process. Is there wonderful things in there? Absolutely. Does he come from this place of understanding the mastership of Jesus? Absolutely. Does he come from the place of understanding the importance of love? Look at what he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one of the most beautiful exposés about the position of love. He understood that. And as I look on the Apostle Paul, I saw a man in transition. He was transitioning from an old world of separation and duality consciousness and moving into a position of oneness and non-dualism. But he wasn't quite there when he was writing most of these letters that make up most of the New Testament other than the Gospels. Jesus was the master. And you have to understand that the real theology of Jesus does not really come out in the Bible. The real teaching in the theology of Jesus came out in the Gospels that were not included in the Bible. Those were the Gospels of Thomas, the Gospels of Philip, and the Gospels of Mary Magdalene. And they became discovered centuries later, most of them recently, in what is called the Nag Hammadi digs out of Egypt in 1945 is when they were discovered. And so we're still starting to understand some of those now even today. But there you saw the distinctive difference between what was the teaching and the theologies of Jesus versus what was the theology of the Apostle Paul. And when we understand his teaching, it was all non-dualistic. After the period and after the crucifixion of Jesus and what arose out of that, and before there was anything that was called a church, was a group of people that referred to themselves as the Gnostics. And Valentinius was the leader of the Gnostics. And he was the man, again, that was non-dualistic in his teaching. So you saw this go on for thousands of years. They understood that. And here was always the problem. You had the masters. They had them in their teachings. And then after they die, their followers begin to develop their own form of it and turn it into a dualistic state. It shows you the power of what is called dualistic or separation consciousness, because we're programmed to think that way and how much it takes to undo that thought system. But we're now living in a new era and a new age. We're now living at a time that we have expansive ability to learn. 160 years ago, my ability to share and teach wasn't any greater than the people that were physically around me. Here we are today, and it's unlimited. There are literally going to be thousands of people who will watch this from all around the world. So you see, we live in an era of time where we have the ability to massively expand and accelerate our ability to learn. And so the world that's going to be coming before us in the next 10, 20, 30, and 40 years is going to be so different than where we are today. But in a world of duality consciousness, we're going to have both. We're going to have people that are moving into this sense of non-dualistic teaching, this sense of understanding of undoing the ego consciousness, the importance of living in this, what is called as the sovereign integral process. Those are the people that are, to me, are going to be free. Those are the people that are going to be living from their hearts. Those are the people that are going to be empowered within their souls. The other side is what I've shared in the last few months, moving into a world that's going to be dominated by artificial intelligence. not artificial intelligence, is going to be very, very seductive, but it also has the ability to limit. It is seductive to what entices and gives you things in the physical world, and if we're still programmed to believe that that world is very real, then we will seductively go after it because it's so appealing to us. But if you understand that it's not real, you begin to realize that seduction is just a trap. It's an entrapment to keep you enslaved. It's an entrapment to keep you in believing that this world is very real, and that it's an entrapment that has the ability to control and keep you enslaved. At the end of the day, as a human race, our job is to undo the various forms of slavery that we've imposed upon ourselves, whether it's from these these powerful elite leaders or by our own choices of our free wills of what we've chosen to believe. Moving into the sovereign ethical process.
Dave, did we lose you? I think we might have lost Dave. Dave, did we lose you? All right, folks, it looks like somehow Dave might have gotten bumped off. I was bumped off earlier in the show, and maybe he went to a black hole. Hopefully not. We have to conjure him back in this hologram, and maybe we can text him and see if he knows he's not... I'm sure a lot of you are trying to do that right now. And see if he's going to try to get on. Well, folks, he's had a lot of interesting points to share. And if you've been to his workshop, he's talked about some of this. He's brought in some additional information. And you could see a lot of it can go to the head because there's a lot of concepts here. But ultimately, as we're listening to this, we can reside in our hearts because that's where a different reality exists. In these modern times, we've been very much conditioned to process reality through our brains, the ones in our head. And we've kind of left the heart perception out of the picture, and really the heart perceives much quicker and has a level of wisdom and discernment that sometimes the brain doesn't have. And then the ultimate thing, of course, is when you've got both brains working. Actually, there's a theory that the guts have a brain too, that there's neurons in the intestines. So we actually have three brains. And, when you said, oh, I'm scared, or you get a really bad upset stomach when you're scared or nervous, okay, there's a gut brain trying to tell you something. But the heart brain is one that we can really use, highly intelligent, highly wise, very perceptive, very quick. And as we're learning to perceive reality in more sophisticated ways, I think some of this information that Dave is sharing can add to, some fuel as to how to think about and how to sense about what we are. Well, I haven't heard from Dave. I wonder if maybe people on YouTube can still hear him. And maybe that's why he hasn't tried to come back to us over here on Blog Talk. Perhaps we can text him that on Blog Talk we can't hear him, and maybe he can come back in. And folks, while we're waiting for him, let's see, he hasn't quite gotten into talking about what the heart virtues are. Some of you have probably heard him talk about those. So if he comes back in, he'll talk about those. And it's really, I encourage you, something that I've been working with myself. Let's see. Okay, so I just got an indication that Dave knows he's off Blog Talk. So I guess he might still be on the YouTube and is continuing his show on that platform. So I don't know if he's going to come back and close us off over here. I don't know if he's going to try to get back on Blog Talk. So we'll wait a little bit and see if what he's going to do. I think he knows he's not on Blog Talk. But what I don't know, and usually we're connected by Skype, but when he's got all his going there, he doesn't. I'm still going to Skype him and see if he's coming back to us. Let me type this out and see what he has to say. If not, I'll just chat with you until he decides to join us. Anyway, well, a lot of it is theory, too. The whole quantum theory and holographic universe, of course, they're models for understanding reality based on some of the physics found in the quantum universe, but it's a pretty interesting model. You know how they talk about holographic illusion. Well, metaphysicians from of old, even some of the Greek philosophers I've been talking about, the illusion, and we've heard the word Maya from the Indians. So this is a concept that humans have been playing with for a good while, and now, of course, it's stressed in modern language. And what is the message? Well, we are also told to know thyself, correct? And if we're totally immersed, some teachers, for example, Gurdjieff uses, if we're totally identified with the external world, then we're really missing the boat, because actually reality is an internal experience. Yes, as Dave has said, we can, you know, knock on wood, and it's hard, and that's the perception. And that's all good and dandy. We are responsible for being effective in our quote-unquote reality, because we've decided to be here and to play this game. But part of this is to understand where we really live. Let's see. Okay, getting that Dave is still on YouTube. I haven't gotten a response if he's coming back to us at Blog Talk. But I'm having fun chatting with you until he decides. He hasn't shut the radio show back off, so I don't know if he intends to come back here. And I hate to just stay silent while we're here. And I wish there was a way to connect with you. I'm sure you all have a lot to say about this as you've practiced. I had a chance to meet many of you. I'm very, very impressed and touched by how awake and aware most of you are. It's really interesting. Alan and I, when we go there, part of the go to the workshops, the big fun is meeting you all and having wonderful conversations with you on all levels. I mean, we can pick any topic that most everyday conversation wouldn't necessarily visit. And, you know, people are on board. We can bring up all kinds of different subjects and vice versa. They'll want to talk to us about a particular subject that isn't something people normally talk about. And we can have wonderful conversations, and we can share perceptions and our understandings and some of our wisdom. We could share what we're experiencing in the world right now as it shifts and changes. So really, it's been a delight to meet you all at the workshops. Of course, when I talk with you on the phone, when you call, that's also wonderful. And so anyway, and well, the last time we had a chance to be with you all was in the Atlanta session, and of course he had Mr. and Miss M there, which is really good. They answer all types of questions as well. I would say the vast majority was about the funding and how that was working, which is good. But then there were other topics, other related topics, and very good information, because both Mr. and Miss M are also quite spiritual people and working on their own spiritual evolvement. And so they had a lot of good information to share and experience on that end. And then, of course, we got to meet with people from all over the states and, as I mentioned, even Canada. And all the effort that people made to be there is also wonderful. And so we got to meet people with different talents, different projects in mind, different gifts, a lot of very gifted people, healers, seers, and musicians and artists, and just really a really great bunch of people. So I just want to say that we always appreciate that. People who are very aware of what's going on, they'll do research and can talk about some of the things that are going on in politics from a deep level, and from a non-mainstream perspective. And so most of all, what I think I enjoy meeting these people, very much along the lines of what Dave was talking about, is that they're not as programmed. You see, there are people there, we can call them cabal or dark musicians or magicians, not musicians, dark magicians, and we can call them controllers, whatever label we give on those people are playing the role of assuming the power that we project out unto them. So that's part of our doing too, because we project our power out and give it out to them and believe in them. So we're working on that, aren't we? But many of them realize that these dark magicians know the game. So they really program our reality through the media, through education, through politics, through fashion. Really, most of everything we experience in reality is actually programmed and hypnotized into a particular reality construct that favors them. Isn't that wonderful? And as we wake up in various degrees of awareness, we start seeing through this. And what we realize then, it can be a little disconcerting and a little disorienting. We realize that most of what we believe has been fed to us, learned, much like a program. And when we really step back and ask ourselves what we really know for ourselves, that's a very interesting experience to go through that inventory. Okay. Well, Mr. Dave. Well, he's probably going strong on YouTube, so maybe some of you are going down through the YouTube. And I hate to just let you all go just in case he does come back to wrap up. So, you know, it would be so fun. I'm not doing this. I'm just saying it for fun, that I could just invite you to raise your hands and we can have a nice conversation. But I don't know. I don't think he'll appreciate if I did that. But it sure would be fun to do that. But anyway, so it'd be so interesting to have a conversation with you all about some of what he's shared. He's shared some very good resources. So he said you can go on YouTube and look at some of the videos that he was talking about. The book, Michael Talbot, Holographic Universe, is really good. It's very readable. He does bring in a lot of the science, but very effective, more of a storyline that he brings. I found it very readable. There's some books, I think it's Brian Greene, who's also physicist, and he's very good too, but boy, sometimes I find it a bit tough to say that I have to slog away. But it's very good too. Yeah, he brings a lot more of the science into it. So, but then if you're not of that mind, then perhaps more the spiritual aspect of this disappearance of the universe is something that Dave continually talks about and has a lot of merit. And so I'm sure probably you all also have your favorite teachers, and many of us still get a lot of inspiration through scripture. I understand that. And I have found that as my awareness increases and I do my inner work, inner development, that I can visit scripture and it says different things to me. And I can't say that I necessarily endorse the control aspects of religion, because similar to everything else, the controllers have infiltrated something that was meant to be spiritual nourishing and advancing, and have used it for control. So there's some aspects of that in religion as well. So what we have to do, if indeed we're involved in religion or are nourished by it, is to examine how much of this are we being controlled, and how much of this is actually food for our spiritual awakening and development. So this is our responsibility, because no matter what it is, if it's money or our jobs or our roles as husbands or wives, we can really identify with many things that are outside of who we really are. So take some work to find out who we really are, and take some courage too, because it's kind of nice just to depend on a program, right? A program reality that is fed for us. It's already thought out, laid out. Some aspects of it we don't like, but hey, we can get along. That can be very tempting, kind of like in the movie The Matrix, which is also very good for showing the relationship between reality and being force-fed into a program. One of the bad guys is meeting with Agent Smith, and he's, you know, in a very posh restaurant and has a wonderful steak and a glass of wonderful wine, and they're trying to make a deal. He's making a deal with the devil, so to speak. And basically he's saying he realizes that this steak isn't real, and but he really appreciates how good it tastes. And basically he's saying he wants back in. He wants back in the Matrix. He'll help Agent Smith get what he wants. And he says, but I want to go back in, but, you know, I want to be rich and, you know, asking for all the goodies that being in the Matrix is going to bring him, and he's very willing to just surrender to that. And unfortunately, I think a lot of us make that mistake unconsciously, first of all, because since we're young, we're pretty much programmed that that's, you know, the way it's supposed to be. And then as we wake, it's a temptation, and it's a balancing act, isn't it? Sometimes we're pretty aware, we're in tune, we're present to what is before us, we realize that it's happening, and we don't get carried away, but sometimes we do get carried away, and unfortunately, sometimes it's the slightest little thing that'll get us carried away, but then we just have to get back, snap to it, snap back to our own inner reality, and well, Mr. Dave, and I hope I'm not just boring you to tears either here.